Good to have you tonight, and I want you to take your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Revelation. I want to be dealing here in the next week or two with the churches. I'm not going to deal with all the seven churches. We're in the church age, and we have been sort of dealing with prophecy, and the Lord has just said you need to spend a few moments on these churches because they're so vital. Seven is the number of completeness, and there are seven churches. And we, by the way, I believe, are living in the last church age, which we'll see later, but it's the church of Laodicea. But turn to Revelation and chapter 2, if you will, please. I made a few comments to the church at Ephesus. This is a church here that left their first love. A church that left their first love. When I think about this, was the most prominent of the seven churches. As a matter of fact, it was first visited by Paul on his second missionary journey over there in Acts chapter 18, verses 19 to 21. You see that he visited that church. And we know in Acts 20, in verse 31 to 32, God reminds us that he invested 3 years of his life. Now, maybe a short time compared to Brother Lastly in this ministry, but in those days, it was a difficult time to establish churches with all that was going on. And certainly, he not only visited by Paul there in Acts 18, and then he invested 3 years of his life, but he voiced the need of the church as he wrote the book of Ephesians of the seven churches. This is the only one whereby you have an epistle speaking about that. Turn with me even before we get into the text here tonight for a few moments and go to the book of Ephesians for just a moment with me as I think about the truth there, the Apostle Paul, as he prayed. The first three chapters, by the way, deal with doctrine, how important doctrine is. I know whoever comes here will come to the realization that the first 11 pages of your Constitution are not up for debate because they deal with great doctrinal truths. And the last three chapters were very practical. You need both. You need doctrinal teaching and preaching, and you need practical teaching from the Word of God to make our lives what they ought to be. Paul, in this epistle, offered two prayers in the book of Ephesians. The first one is in chapter 1. The second one is there in chapter 2. Excuse me, in chapter 2 is the first one, I'm sorry, and chapter 3 is the second one. I want to just take a moment and turn to the second prayer that Paul prayed as I think about the church at Ephesus, because it was such an important, prominent church that God was doing, and Paul wrote this. And I come over here to the third chapter. It was obvious as you read this prayer of Paul prayed, something happened to the church at Ephesus whereby they got off center when it came to this prayer. And I pray that we won't here at Buffalo Bridge. He says here in verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." I pray today that prayer becomes and is and will always be a great part of this church. Because if not, you will leave your first love, as the church at Ephesus did later. Then he said, of the whole family in heaven and earth, his name. Then he said that he grants you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He talked about inner strength, total dependence upon the Lord. You cannot live the Christian life without the inner strength of the Holy Spirit. Please come to know that. Then he says in verse 17, not only does he deal with inner strength in verse 16, but he deals with inner dependence, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That's our declaration of independence, that Christ may dwell. The word dwell means to feel at home. Pray that the Lord Jesus will always feel at home in this church. he'll always be welcome and enjoy the fellowship. And then he comes down just quickly. I look at verse 19. Much I could say about all these. But he not only talks about inner strength, and he talks here about the interdependence. We're a whole family. You dependent upon one another. You need one another. Make sure you understand that. Then he talks about an infinite purpose. What is God's purpose for this church? To know, verse 19, the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I pray that this church will be filled with all the fullness of God. I pray that I will be filled, you will be filled with the fullness, all the fullness of God. If so, there is no room for failure. There's no room for the flesh. That's what God wants. But as I go back to the passage there in the book of Revelation, we realize what a most prominent church this was. Certainly, it was a productive church. Look in verse 2 of Revelation 2. I know thy works. And notice that it was a productive church. As I think about Buffalo Ridge, I think about your bus ministry. I think about your choir. I think about your ushers. I think about your Sunday school. I think about your different ministries that you have, the cancer ministry, the nursing home ministries, and on it goes. Thank God it is a church that is very productive. And some one of the candidates we were talking to, and we were talking about the deacons to him, I said, hallelujah, these deacons are involved. The chairman of the Board of Deacons drives a bus. I don't know many chairmen of the Board of Deacons of church this side would be driving a bus. Thank you, sir, and the rest of you that are doing that. You say, preacher, you're giving more of your heart. I think I want to give you my heart because I think God is doing great things here, and I'm rejoicing in that. It was not only a prominent church and a productive church, it was a persevering church. Look there again, and thy patience. Oh, look there in verse 2 as you look at this, and thy patience. The word patience is an interesting word. It means to go forward under pressure. To go forward under pressure. And I tell you today, never before as our churches across America under more pressure than they are right now to do the right thing. We have family pressures. We have government pressures. You name it, it's there. I pray to you as our church here will go forward. I pray in the future when the Lord would allow me to come for a visit that I will see hardly any room in the pews. And I'll just take Larry Trent's seat. And praying today that will be the case for this church. Then he points out it was a pure church because he says here, look there, thou canst not bear, verse 2, that which is evil. That's good, isn't it? You can't bear that which is evil. Your churches say, listen, we're not going to let apostasy, we're not going to let compromise to come into our church. Hallelujah. It is a perceptive. They didn't want that, but it was also a persistent church. Look here as you look at this in verse 3. So it's not only a prominent and a productive, persevering church, perceptive church about evil, but it was persistent. Look there, if you will, in verse 3, and had borne and had patience for thy sake, has labored and has not fainted. The word fainted has the idea, this church said, we are not going to quit. Boy, I would say to you, go home, get your dictionary out, and cut that word out of your dictionary. You don't quit. You keep moving forward because God has great plans for you. The problem is, not only do we see all these wonderful positive things, but also a problem church, a problem that developed. If you look at verse 2, he deals there with doctrine. You look at it, you can see doctrine there. Verse 3, you see duty. But you come to verse 4, you can see they lack devotion to the Lord. Something happened after the book of Ephesians was written. You look at the book of Ephesians, what a great book it is. I preached so many times through it. The church was thriving. But somehow they had left their first love, their devotion to Him. I don't know if duty, they got too busy. I do not know. But my prayer to this church here and to each of you, that you stay strong in your devotions to Christ. Put Him, make Him the preeminent one here. He tells us there in verse 5 to this church, remember, therefore, he's saying that you left your first love. It's interesting that he doesn't tell us how they left their first love. That's interesting, because I think there are different ways to do that. If you do not have a prayer life, you're leaving your first love. If you do not take this book seriously in your life, and I would suggest that in order for me, I don't know about you, to stay devoted to Him, I've got to remove many of the verses from the Scriptures and put them in my heart for memory, so that I can fight the battle that the devil would have me to forget my devotion to Him. Many a time I read in the book of Ecclesiastes, I believe it is, when you get old, it seems hard to sleep. How many know what I'm talking about? And you're sitting there thinking about things. You're up at night. I was up at 1:30 this morning. And I want to just get in the Scriptures. I wanted the Scriptures to get in me. I begin to quote some. And boy, you know what? The devil didn't like that, and he conked me out and put me back to sleep. Hello? How true that is, isn't it, brother? He just doesn't want you to cite these things in your heart and in your life. I had to get me a new Bible not too long ago. Every 8 or 9 years, I must wear one out. Those who have a Bible that's fallen apart means that their life is not falling apart. I pray that you'll get into this, and you'll have to replace your Bible now and then, because you just are spending so much time in it. It's just fallen apart, but you're not. Hallelujah. And then he says here, verse 5, three things to this church. First, remember from whence thou art fallen. What is the... Now, he's dealing with the past. You know, I would say to us all tonight, do not live in the past, but please do not prevent the past from living in you. Let me say that again. Do not live in the past, but do not prevent the past from living in you. I'm thankful for the things of years ago that we don't have today. I don't think we have the revivals today we used to have. I'm sorry. I think we can have them if we will just go after them and believe God is going to give us a revival. I was thinking of the early church, which this particular church at Ephesus pictures that church in many, many ways, as they were fighting the battles and how God used them. And I wanted to just leave there for... He said, remember, therefore, the front star fallen. Go back with me for a few moments to the book of Acts, the 4th chapter, because there, I believe, he does some things that we wish we could get today back into our churches and back in our thought life. And there's two or three thoughts that I want to give you, because this is the early church. If we would have what they had, we'd have revival. If we had what they had, we'd be seeing more souls saved. Look at it. Verse 4, chapter 4, excuse me. Verse 12, verse 13, first of all, what I draw your attention to. First of all, in those days, and we need it today, verse 12 of chapter 4, the convictions in their belief. We need to put back into our hearts convictions in our, I mean real convictions. Not just to have it up here, but have it in our heart. Do we believe it, and we believe it to the extent we're willing to die for it. He says, neither is there salvation any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Two thoughts there, isn't there? Number one, you got to be saved, and there's only one way to be saved. But you see, preacher, isn't that a little narrow? It is as narrow as this book that I hold here tonight. And I pray that we would put those convictions back in. If we truly believe that, not just up here, but in our hearts, we would want to go after souls to be saved. Not only do we see the convictions in their belief in those days, but I see the content of their new life. Now, when they saw, that is, others saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. It doesn't mean they were stupid. It's just that they weren't well trained. God give us some people today. I'm glad that to say it's okay to have an education. I like what Lester Roloff said when they asked him. He said, do you have any education? He said, yes, but I got over it. We need a generation today to get over it. We're afraid we have preachers coming in our pulpits today out of our cemeteries, not seminaries, but cemeteries, who certainly know a lot here, but little here. God help us today. I'm giving my heart as I think about my preaching tonight. I'm burdened for you. I love you so much. And we say, then he says this. Not only does, what would the early church have? They had convictions that in their beliefs, they had content in their new life, it boldness. I love boldness. I'm not supposed to get as bold as I did this morning, make comments, and I picked on poor Judy here. I'm not repented one bit. But she gave me an apple pecan pie that I'm taking home to Maryland. And she had it freshly baked at where her son is in charge of Cracker Barrel. So therefore, I will say more things against her to get more things from her. But notice this thirdly, and they took knowledge. They'd been with Jesus. That's it. That's it. Knowledge that they had been with Jesus. And when you're not with Jesus, you soon will leave your first love and commune with that wonderful person of heaven above, my Jesus. Thank you for that song so wonderfully sung tonight about trust and so forth. Trusting in him. And then in that same chapter, in chapter 5 as well, he'll make three statements that we need today. Look at verse 31, picks up the contents. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. I think our church needs a good shake-up by the Holy Ghost. I'm afraid we have too many are shaky in what they believe, but are not shaken by what they believe. My prayer is the Holy Spirit will shake us up about our beliefs. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Then he talks about three things as I reminisce tonight in this passage. Look at verse 33. Two of them are right here. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Great power. Wow, we need that, don't we? How we need that great power. And then he says in the same text, and great grace. Great grace. I tell you today, I was talking to someone not too long ago, a pastor, and he and I were comparing some of the stupid things we did in the ministry, called the doctrine of stupidity. And I was thinking, thank you for your grace. I would have taken me out of the ministry years ago by some of the dumb things. Don't you dare say amen. And then the third one, this church had great power, great grace. You know what great grace does? It tears down the barriers between people and keeps the church in unity. That's what it does. But notice the third one here, verse 11 of chapter 5. And great what? Fear came upon the church. This was after Ananias and Sapphira committed their great sin and God killed them. You know, my prayer is that the churches will get back to the place where like Moody, like Billy Sunday, when they'd go into town, Billy Sunday would go into town, he wouldn't leave till every bar in town was closed. And now today, our young people and older people want to go to the bar and think social drinking is okay. You see, we can't have this Old Testament, old time religion if we don't see great fear. Fear God with a holy fear. Somebody said, well, that word just means reverence. I think it's more than that. I've told you before, Mama raised three boys by herself. And before I knew anything about God, I feared Mama. Mama could beat the tar out of me like no one else could. And then she would make that statement that I never understood. This really, she would say to me, this hurts me more than it hurts you. I never believed it until I had children. And I'm glad today that I fear God because he has a bigger club, the club of me, than my mama had. Oh, I pray today, this church, let's go back to our text there, if you will. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Go back, you've lost your power. You've lost grace towards someone else. And you have no great fear. Oh, how we need that. I just want you to know, we all ought to be afraid to step out of the will of God because he will come down hard on us. Do you know why? Because he loves us. And then I think here, repent. Underline that word. Repent there in verse 5, three thoughts. Remember, repent. That's a word we've left out. Now, I believe repentance is not only necessary for salvation, but I have no way of getting right with God without repentance. We just want to kind of pass over it. And I believe the church had come to the place where it left out that great word repentance, the church at Ephesus, and God was reminding them to repent. You see, I don't know if I have anything to repent of. Shame on us. The closer I get to God, the worse I look. And the better God looks. And my need of repentance on a regular basis. I hope you feel the same. Remember, repent, repeat. He says, do the first works. Go back to where you were. Go back, church. Go back, church. Go back. Not that you should live your life in the past, but you should let the past live in you and want today what they had back in those days. Do you want it tonight? So desperately. That such a revival would break out. This is only one of two churches There's only two churches. I won't deal with them, but tonight. But another church we'll deal with. There's only every church, but two of them, Smyrna and the Church of Philadelphia. God told them to repent. Is there things in your life as we close tonight you say, I need to take care of? I'm glad we have a doctrinal church. I'm glad we have duty. But where's your devotion? Is there things in your life, if I've examined my life before I came to this pulpit, I just want to walk with the Lord. I want every one of you to walk with the Lord tonight. But if there's things that need to be taken care of, there's an altar tonight. And maybe you need to come tonight and say, God, we need revival. We need you to fall down on this ministry. Let's stand together. Not need the song, but with the instruments, please come and play whatever you're to play tonight. Would you do that now so that we can think about closing the service tonight? But if God, what kind of church is this? What kind of a church member who makes up this body tonight? If there's things you need to take care of as the instruments will play, please step out. Please come to the altar. Let God be God tonight. Let him come and say, God, I want that power. Lord, I want that grace. Lord, I need a holy fear of you tonight. Lord, I want to believe in my heart. There's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Lord, give me that holy boldness tonight. The content of my life will be that, and my communion with Jesus will be sweet. Many have come to the altar. If you need to join them, just slip out tonight. Find that place here and let God do his work in your heart tonight. Others may want to come. Just feel good about coming. Just come tonight. Let God do his work in your heart. He had to do a work in my heart before I preached this message. I wanted to get into some more other church tonight, but God spoke to me about just do this one tonight. Remember, repent, repeat, go back where you were, and their actions and works. Have you seen Jesus lately? Is he so real with you tonight? Would you need to come fall on your knees before God? Yes, Lord. Oh, God, fall down upon this service tonight. Blessed Spirit of the living God. Just before we close our service, two things. We think we have a family that's coming to join tonight. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Isn't that great? I think we've had two or three, four families join since July, since I've been here. Not that I had anything to do with it. God did it all. But would the family please come tonight who want to join our church? Thank the Lord for them. They looked over our constitution, and I'm going to turn this part over to Marty. I just lost your name, Marty. Would you forgive me for that?
I totally understand.
No, amen. I don't. I don't understand it at all.
Amen. Well, it's an honor for this dear couple to come forward. They, Craig and Sharon Harmon, have read our bylaws, understand and agree to them, and they want to join our church by statement. What's the pleasure of the church that they come? Can I get a motion if they come? Brother Steve, Brother Ira seconds. All in favor, raise your hand and say aye. Opposed, same sign. So carried. Very good. Okay, folks, we're getting close. We're down to three, and I believe through these meetings and things, we have talked to the pastor of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. With that in mind, as we think about these things and as we pray and prepare for this man as he comes, there's been a reason why he's blessed our church for so many years. And one of those reasons why is how we've backed the man of God. We stood behind Preacher Lastly when he's here. The Lord used him tremendously. We stood behind Preacher Jody when he was here, and your Lord used him tremendously. And that man is coming that the Lord has for us. Not the one we're picking out, but the one the Lord is leading here. So as we pray this week and as weeks to come, pray that the Lord will prepare our hearts as a church, as individuals. I'm praying that the Lord will prepare my heart for when the man gets here. That we get behind him, support him. And the Lord uses him in a tremendous way. And I've asked Preacher Lastly to come and to close us in prayer tonight. And when he is finished, this will be the closing prayer, to pray for the man as he comes.
Folks, aren't you just, let me get away a little way from, just sit down just a minute so I can see you. This is one of the most important things the church could ever do is bring God's man in here. I remember years, you've heard me say this many times, but folks, this is so important. The church had called me, but I went out in the woods out in Illinois where I was, and I said, Lord, I don't want to go down there unless you're going to go with me and anoint me and bless me. I said, I won't go. And the Lord gave me assurance that he was leading me down and he would bless. I don't ever claim to be the greatest preacher that ever got behind a pulpit, but I had the blessing of God on me. When I got here, God promised it. And it wasn't I was so brilliant or anything like that. I just had to, you need the blessing of God on your life. And I was here 46 years and God blessed. And now we're at a critical juncture. And I want to say this. These deacons, there's not a greater board of deacons in any Baptist church that I've ever been around, I doubt in America, than these men. They have prayed that God would lead them. And God would lead them to the right man and the right man here. And I've got in that office over here. By the way, the deacons gave me that office right over there. I have a title deed to that little office right where I pray. Every morning I pray, Lord, lead the deacons to the right man and lead the man that you want here to come to this church. May the deacons be led of the Spirit. May the man that you want here be led of the Spirit. And I have full confidence that these deacons, that's what they want. They want God's man only to come to this pulpit. The one God's leading, one God's leading them to, and the preacher that's leading him to us. And so I want you to get behind, pray hard now in the next few days, because they've got to make a decision shortly. And I believe these deacons are going to make the right decision to present the man of God to this church that they feel like is leading by the Holy Spirit, leading them to call him to this church to present to you. And I want you to pray every day. I've prayed every day since the start, for that God would lead the deacons and lead the man here. So, folks, get behind the deacons. Pray for them every day. And I know they have a desire to do the will of God. And I believe God's going to honor the deacons, and they're going to present a man to you that you can have confidence in. Might not be the greatest preacher in the world, but if he's God's man for this place, God will bless. Amen. And so I'm going to pray now, and you bow your head and pray. Let's pray for the deacons and pray for the man. Get on your knees, some of you that know how to pray, and pray right now. Folks, this is important. If you know how to pray right, get down on that knees right now. I can't. I've got two metal knees, or I'd get on my face here. I couldn't get up if I got down. But I can still pray from my heart. So let's all pray right now that God would lead these deacons, and I believe he's leading them, and lead that man to come to this church to have a great ministry for the glory of God. See revival come back to this church. Father, and I do thank you for this board of deacons. They're good men. Many of them saved in this church. And Lord, I just pray that now that as they come to a critical decision of deciding who the Holy Spirit is leading to this church, Lord, I pray that you'd give them Holy Ghost wisdom, wisdom from above, that's what they need. And lead that man that you want here, God. And Lord, we know that you, Buffalo Ridge, can have a great ministry owned and blessed of God if God would lead the deacons and lead that man here. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray, precious Holy Spirit, I pray, Heavenly Dove, that you would lead every step of the way. And as they make a choice in the next few days, Lord, I just pray that you would bless and honor and bring that man to stand behind this pulpit to handle the word of life and see us do great things for the glory of God. Lord, I beg you tonight to bring us a man of God full of the Holy Ghost, full of the word of God, born again, and will lead us to great spiritual heights till Jesus comes. And we'll thank you. Lord, I'm claiming your leadership. And may this church stand behind this board of deacons, I pray. Get behind them and love them. Tell them you're praying. And Lord, help them do that. And may we have great harmony and unity in this selection of a pastor. Oh God, give us harmony and unity. Born of the Holy Ghost, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Okay, folks, if you greet this family that's come to the church, it's an honor to have them. And if you all want to come up here, and as we come out, you are dismissed.